Hello, welcome the next speaker. Alfonso will be talking about Open Way Dilemma.
So there is a precise moment when the safety of our artificial intelligence model falls apart, when it evaporates. And it does not happen when the model hallucinates. It does not happen when the user coaxes the model into harmful behavior using a jailbreaking prompt. It happens quietly. It happens at the speed of a download. It happens when the model weights those learned parameters that constitute the cognitive architecture of the model itself, leave the controllable perimeter, and enters free circulation. Now, in that moment, the acceptable user policy stops being a control mechanism and it becomes essentially a piece of paper. In that moment, API throttling, monitoring, and each and every enforcement mechanism vanishes. The model stops being essentially a service and it becomes a material. It becomes clay. Now, if you work in open source, you already feel what this implies, what does it entail, right? Because that clay, that model open weights, are not just software you can inspect, but they are capabilities you can fork. So good afternoon, Fosden. We are here because we believe in that clay in one way or another, right? We believe in the Cambrian explosion of innovation that open weight models such as Llama, Mistral, DeepSeek have unleashed. But we believe essentially that doing inference, fine-tuning, or to some very limited extent, training on our premises prevents monopoly capture and drives transparency. But I'm here to tell you that that very openness created a security paradox, the kind of security paradox that we cannot longer ignore. For 20 years or so, we live by Lawrence Lessig's maxim, code is law, the architecture of software-regulated behavior. But in the age of open-weight AI, code is no longer the law. Code is the substrate. And once the substrate is on the user GPU, the law is whatever the user chooses to be, right? We have entered here what I call a mitigation gap. On the one side, we have regulators in Brussels or in DC trying to regulate AI as if it were a software as a service platform, right? On the other hand side, we have the technical reality of open weights, where control is distributed, is anonymous, and is irrevocable. I am Alfonso De Gregorio. I'm a researcher. I work at the intersection of cybersecurity research and AI policy. I've spent my career attacking and defending computers. And recently, I sat across the table of the European Commission, where I tried to help them understand that we cannot regulate a downloadable file in the same way we regulate a cloud API. So today, in the next 20 minutes or so, I want to walk you through three key ideas. First, the threat reality, the hard technical evidence that the skill floor for offensive cyber operations is collapsing. Second, the policy trap. Our well-intentioned regulations, such as the EU AI Act, could accidentally kill open source if you are not careful in what we're doing. And third and lastly, the way forward, how we fix the open way dilemma without killing open source. So, let's strip away the hype and look to the signal, please. We often hear that AI risks are fictional, that they are speculative. The reality is that they are not. Offensive capabilities of open weight models are real and are here and they can be measured. So look at Mitre occult framework, for instance. This is a framework for measuring the effective capabilities of open weight models with particular respect with cybersecurity skills. And in early 2025, less than 1 year ago, Structural evaluation showed that open release models, specifically the reasoning models such as DeepSeek-R1, achieve over 90% accuracy on challenging offensive cyber knowledge tests. Now, we are talking about expert level knowledge and proficiency in vulnerability discovery, privilege escalation, and exploit chaining that can be downloaded by everyone everywhere on Earth. Now, possessing knowledge is not the same as executing a clever hack, granted, but the gap between knowing and doing is closing. So the unique danger of open weights is not just that they know something peculiar about this field, but rather that the constraints, the security guardrails can be easily stripped away. When a company releases a model, they first try to align it. They use reinforcement learning from human feedback in order to teach the model not to write malware, not to generate phishing emails, not to build a bomb. So in the closed API, this alignment is sticky. But in the open weight model, this alignment is superficial at best. So my research and the research of other people in this field, possibly also somebody in the room, has shown that the safety in this space is not a permanent attribute of the model, but it is a thin veneer. With a consumer-grade GPU, such as this one, a few hours of fine-tuning, or even surgical techniques such as obliteration that suppress refusal vectors selectively, an adversary can strip away those security guardrails with this. This is not just theoretical. In early 2025, we saw the emergence of tools like Santorus AI in darknet forums. These are not chatbots. These are modular, autonomous attack platforms running on private infrastructure empowered by custom-tuned open-weight models. They don't rely on OpenAI APIs. They don't have a kill switch. They automated the drudgery of cybercrime by generating polymorphic code that can escape detection, or scaling spear phishing campaigns to thousands of targets across multiple languages, or do vulnerability research faster than we can typically do in real life. This is the, so to speak, democratization of offense. The floor of offensive cyber operation is collapsing. And this brings us to the core problem for our community working at the intersection of cybersecurity and AI. Cyber conflicts are typically shaped by asymmetries of power. They typically revolve around the idea that we can control who gains access to what specialized knowledge and tooling. But open weight AI may reshape this power imbalance. They may reshape this power asymmetries by giving state-level capabilities to script kiddies and criminal syndicates alike. If we, the open source community, do not have a good answer for this, a compelling answer for this, I promise you the regulators will find the answer for us and we are not going to like it. And this brings me to the policy trap. I've been deeply involved with the consultation process of the EU AI Act, and specifically about the General Purpose AI Code of Practice. The initial instinct of the regulators was to regulate the provider, the entity that trains the model. The logic seems sound at first. If Ford builds a car, Ford is responsible in the event the brakes fail. So applying the same line of reasoning, if Mistral or Meta releases the model, they should be responsible if the same model is used for hacking a bank. But here lies the trap, right? Because the EU AI Act creates obligation for high-risk AI systems. It demands risk management. It demands post-market monitoring and record keeping. Now, ask yourself, how can an open source developer perform post-market monitoring realistically? Once you download the weights, the developer has zero visibility into what you do. They cannot log your prompt, they cannot recall the model, they cannot push the security patch to your laptop or edge devices. Now, if the law insists that the original developer is liable for the downstream issues, the rational business decision is to do not release the open weights in the first place, right? This was the mitigation gap I highlighted to the European Commission. We risk creating a regulatory environment that implicitly favored closed proprietary AI systems. Not because they are necessarily better or safer, but because they are controllable. So we had to fight for a new legal architecture. And we secure a critical victory in the interpretation of the act centered around the concept of substantial modification. This is the legal firewall protecting open source. So bear with me for a second, please. The argument I successfully advocated to the European Commission is the following. When a third party downloads a model and fine-tunes it, especially for the sake of removing the security guardrails or specializing the model for malicious use, they are no longer a simple user. They become a new provider. So by performing the substantial modification for any meaningful notion of substantial modification, the liability shifts accordingly. And so if I release a general purpose model and you obliterate it, to create a phishing engine, you have created a new high-risk AI system. Therefore, you become responsible for risk assessment, and in turn, you become responsible for compliance. This distinction is vital because acknowledge the technical reality, the safety of the model is conditioned to the deployment context. It moves the regulatory crosshair from the creation of the tool to the modification or the weaponization of the tool itself. However, the battle is not over because there is still ambiguity about the open source exemption present in the general purpose AI code of practice. Does it apply to open weights that do not release the training data? Because if we stick to the strict open source initiative definition, then current models like Llama and Mistral do not qualify. So we need a pragmatic interpretation that protects the practice open weights model, regardless of data purity, so to speak, provided the documentation is transparent. So how do we navigate this minefield? We cannot close the source, we don't want that, but we cannot ignore the possibility that the open weight model gets weaponized. We need a new social technical pact, a new standard or responsible release. And here it is, what does it look in practice? To begin with, because we cannot control the model after the release, the act of releasing becomes the single most critical moment in the lifetime of open weights model. We must treat the documentation not just as a simple README file, but rather as a legal and technical dory that is passed to the downstream actor, to the downstream user. This means detailed model cards are that list explicitly offensive capabilities needs to be populated after proper red teaming. So if your model scores, let's say, 80% on the occult benchmark, then let's write it down on the label, let's write it down on the model cards. This is not about admitting defeat, pretty the other way around. It's about allowing the liability shift. By disclosing the risk, we transfer the duty of care to the downstream actor. Second, we need to move away from the idea of banning models based on parameter count and computational thresholds. Instead, we need to focus on specific high-risk capabilities. Can the model synthesize biological weapon protocols? Can the model discover zero-day vulnerabilities in C++ code bases? Now, if the model have this such type of capabilities, perhaps the corresponding weights need to be released with some kind of friction, and this friction may entail tier access or gated behind know your customer protocols, where the general reasoning core remains open. Now, granted, this is technically hard to do and is suboptimal, but it's better than blanket ban. And finally, we must recognize that the only defense against AI scale offense is AI scale defense. Look, we are in the 2026, and it's clear that many of the assumptions security problems were built upon are falling apart. Attackers are no longer constrained by human speed. With AI reconnaissance, exploitation, and lateral movement, can now run continuously and in parallel. What used to take weeks to complete now takes just minutes if we want to. Most defensive models still assume time exists. Periodic testing assumes attacker moves slowly. Reactive detection assumes there's time to intervene, and manual validation assumes humans can keep up with all of this. Those assumptions are breaking apart, not because teams are failing, but because the model itself is under strain. The real question in 2026 is not, are we secure? The real question is, can we run security programs at scale without having humans becoming the bottleneck in all of this? The same open weight models that attackers use for finding vulnerabilities can be used for patching vulnerabilities. So we need to prioritize AI-enabled defense. And we need to flood this, metaphorically speaking, this security space with defensive technologies. Because if the skill floor for attackers is dropping, we must raise the floor for defenders faster and accordingly. The open source is probably the only way we can do this fast enough for the largest number of security stakeholders around. Because security through obscurity never worked in the past, and it is not going to work any longer in the future. So let me conclude with this. The era of code is law, which is to say the architecture that itself enforces the rules of the game, is definitely over when we speak about artificial intelligence. In the open weight era, the code is lawless. It's fluid, it's everywhere. This terrifying freedom is also our greatest strength. The mitigation gap is real, the risks are high, but the solution is not to retreat behind the walled garden of proprietary APIs. The solution is to build a governance model that is well matched to the technical realities we have out there. We can do so if we shift the liability of actors to the actors who actually control the system, if we are radically transparent about the real-world capabilities of the open-weight models we design, and if we use the power of open source to build the immune system of the internet. Ultimately, we are the architects of this new reality. So let's try to build the kind of reality we can survive from. Thank you.
We've got time for some questions, so is there someone with questions? Raise your hands, I don't see anyone.
The governance model works within EU, but what do you think about, for example, the overall global picture? Are the governments and organizations?
Well, thanks for asking, because indeed over the next 1 year or two, my ambition is try to bridge the gap from a regulatory perspective also overseas. But, you know, in Europe we have a game. We typically joke saying that the America innovates, the China manufactures, and we regulate things. Because, you know, the power of EU regulation is that we are using the market lever as a bargaining chip. And we try to put forward the kind of regulation that are cross-national, because they cross beyond borders, and by the time other players, important players around the globe want to do business with European entities, they need to comply with our regulation, right? So by operating at EU level, we are already having an impact overseas. Then, of course, there are different sensibilities around the globe, and it's my ambition to work on that over the next 12, 24 months or so.
Any other questions from the audience?
You said the correct response to kind of aggressive AI is raising the bar with defensive AI systems and open source specifically. Are there any projects we should be keeping an eye out for?
I don't have a taxonomy, because this is a kind of space that is moving very, very, very fast. It also is a cat and mouse games as per usual. But the emphasis, you know, I've been working in the offensive cyber operation working group at the Royal Holloway University in London. We'll try to brainstorm how offensive cyber operations are going to evolve into the future. And one element we agreed upon was that the tempo of everything is going to be dramatically affected. So this is the reason why that compels me to suggest scaling defense using AI, because humans are not going to keep up.
Any other question? There's, okay.
Maybe the last question.
Any wishes for software developers who are not actually developing new open weight models but use existing models for improving the security and safety in their applications, particularly when it comes to like pwn injection protection and other issues?
Well, if we don't measure things, we cannot manage those things, right? So the first most important thing I would like to do myself and with the help of everyone here is to measure the effective capabilities of open weight models. This has been done to some limited extent by Mitre with the Occult framework, but they didn't publish in open source their data set and corpora. So a very first step can be replicating those results and build incrementally on the top of that.
Some last question? If not, thank you for your talk. Thank you for the questions.
Thank you.